I were to ask you this morning to define your life in 50 words or less, what would you say? Who are you and what are you about in 50 words or less? If we could ask Saul of Tarsus to define his life in 50 words or less, I think he would probably say something along the lines of this. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're going to consider Galatians 2 this morning because it was a verse in our readings for the week. We've been reading the Bible together here at Annandale, and we have come to the last day of November 2025. If the Lord wills, tomorrow will be December 1st. The final month of 2025, and if the Lord wills, we're some 30-ish days away from a new year. And so we're looking at Galatians 2:20 this morning because of the context of the work that we have done together this year, but we are also thinking about Galatians 2, verse 20 this morning because this is a life-changing verse. The context of Galatians 2:20 is justification. Justification is a legal term. It has to do with pronouncing free of the consequences of one's sinful actions. In Galatians 2, verse 16, we learn that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Rather, a man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Romans 3, verse 23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, and the sentence, Romans 6, verse 23, for our sin is death. And so Galatians 2:20 is speaking of death, but it is speaking of death in the context of justification. And the contrast is being made in chapter 2, verse 16, by being justified by law, which is impossible, or being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to my personal sin problem, law is not the remedy. Perfection of performance was a curse that Jesus has delivered us from. Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Law condemns, but grace saves. And so as we consider Galatians 2:20, the question is, how shall we live now that we have been justified by grace through faith, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ? And the answer is, we shall live by faith, which is the message of the letter to the Romans. Romans 1, verse 16, we are not ashamed of the gospel of the good news of Christ. And why should we be? Why should we be ashamed of the good news of the person and the work of Jesus? Why should we be ashamed of the good news of Christ crucified? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that is precisely what we see in the book of Acts, that the gospel of Jesus was preached beginning in Acts 2 to the Gentiles, or to the Jews, and then it was preached to the Gentiles. For in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, how shall we live? We shall live by faith. And so what is Galatians 2:20? Well, it is life-defining. What is Galatians 2:20? It is life-focusing. And so as we consider Galatians 2:20, as it was written in Koine Greek, as the Holy Spirit carried Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle Paul, along to write these words, Galatians 2:20 is in the perfect tense. And that matters because the perfect tense indicates a past action which has abiding results. I want to say that again for emphasis and because of how important it is to our understanding of the message of Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 is in the perfect tense and it's indicating a past action which has abiding results. And notice Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. What is he speaking of when he speaks of something that he did in the past that has abiding results in his presence? I want to tie some scriptures together for you this morning. I want to connect them for you. And I want to encourage you to think about them and how they connect to one another and the good news that they are all putting into focus for all of us. And so when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, what is he speaking of in those words? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, praise be to God, we do not have to wonder what the gospel is. Because God has revealed the gospel to us. God has revealed the good news to us. He has defined the good news for us. We can read, we can understand, we can know, we can proclaim, we can live, we can stand in the gospel. And so 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance. This is what is of first importance concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, which saves. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. From Genesis 1, verse 1, leading up to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the Old Covenant is pointing to the person and the work of Jesus. The Gospels are about His life, and Acts through Revelation, all of those books are pointing back to the person and the work of Jesus. This is the Gospel, and this is what is of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And lest there be any doubt about the truth of the Gospel, verse 5 beginning, He was seen. And so what is of first importance, according to the Holy Spirit of God, who was sent by Jesus, who was sent by God the Father to reveal all the truth to Jesus' chosen apostles and prophets, what is of first importance to God Himself is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How did He die? He was crucified. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Turn your attention now to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is of first importance, then what is of second importance? For your consideration this morning, I would encourage you to consider that if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is of first importance, then how I respond to His death, how I respond to His burial, how I respond to His resurrection must be of second importance. And so God has revealed the gospel to us so that we might believe it. God wants you to believe that Jesus is a real person and that Jesus really died and that Jesus really buried and that Jesus really rose from the dead. But that's not all. He wants you to trust in Jesus and His work from the depth of your being. But that's not all. God wants you to surrender your life to Jesus, to His person, to His work. He wants you to surrender to His death, burial, and resurrection. Well, how do we go about doing that? Well, once again, we don't have to wonder about it. God has revealed it to us. He has revealed it to us in language that we can understand, but not only has He told us how to respond to what is of good importance, He has just illustrated it for us over and over again throughout the book of Acts. And so what do we see Saul of Tarsus, who Galatians 2:20 is about, what do we see Saul of Tarsus do, for example, in Acts the 9th chapter and in verse 18? We see him being baptized. And so why was he baptized in Acts 9, verse 18? Well, he explains why he did that in Romans 6, beginning in verse 3. And he says, listen, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Well, how did He die? Well, He died by crucifixion. If we are united together in the likeness of His death, if we are crucified with Christ, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. Well, when is our old man crucified with Him? Verse 3, when we are baptized into Him. When did that experience happen in the life of Saul of Tarsus? Galatians 2:20 in Acts 9, verse 18. When he was baptized. Well, why was he baptized? Well, among other things, verse 6, when we are crucified with Him, the body of sin is done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Define your life in 50 words or less. Are you a slave of sin or are you a slave of? Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Because He didn't stay dead. Yes, He died. Yes, He was buried. But He didn't stay dead. Knowing that Christ, verse 9, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, because death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Therefore, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, what is he referring to? He's referring to what he did in Acts 9, verse 18. He's referring to what he speaks of in Romans 6, verses 3 through 11. He's referring to Acts 22, verse 16, in which he was told by the person that Jesus sent to tell him what he needed to do. Acts 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And so we're connecting Galatians 2:20 to 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And we're connecting those verses to Romans 6. We're connecting all that to Acts 22, verse 16. Now we're moving away from Saul of Tarsus, from Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, to Peter. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 20, he talks about Noah and the ark and eight souls being saved through water. And then in verse 21, he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. And then he communicates in verse 21 what baptism is not. Yes, baptism involves water, but it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. Baptism is not a ritual cleansing. Well, if baptism involves water, but it's not a ritual cleansing, it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, then what is it? Once again, praise God, we don't have to wonder about that. Because the Holy Spirit tells us in verse 21 what baptism is about. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. And so this is how this works. We come to understand that Jesus died on a cross, and then we ask the question, why? Why did Jesus die on a cross? And what we come to understand is that He died on the cross because of my sins. And I want to tell you what that does for all of us that understand that and take it to heart. It bothers our conscience. It cuts to the heart. We are left undone because of it. And so now, we echo the question of Acts 2:37. Now that we understand, now that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, how shall we respond? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Why is baptism, why is water baptism the answer of a good conscience? Because of the truth found in Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14 reveals the truth of 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience. Because when we ask the question, what must we do in order for our sins that Jesus died for to be forgiven? The answer comes back in the language of Acts 22, verse 16. We need to arise and be baptized, and we need to have our sins washed away as we call on the name of the Lord. Well, as we sometimes sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we sing that because from the beginning, God has made it possible through types and shadows to communicate to us that the life, Leviticus 17, verse 11, the life is in the blood. And I have given this sacrifice for you so that you can experience remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, so that you can be justified by blood. And so the Hebrew writer goes to great lengths to communicate the truth that we are not, verse 13, we are not bulls, we are not goats, we are not heifers. And all of those blood sacrifices, they sanctified for the purifying of the flesh. But we are image bearers. And Jesus, the one who has made us in His image, the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, in time He became flesh and He dwelt among us. And within the body that was prepared for Him was blood. And the difference between His blood and your blood and my blood is that His blood is perfect. It is pure in the absolute. It is not mixed with sin. It is absolute perfection. And so what did He do with His blood? Verse 14, through the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself without spot to God. And here's what His blood can do. It can cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And when you understand that, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, then you will be baptized into Christ, where His blood will wash away your sins and cleanse your conscience, and you will be born again of the water and the Spirit. The new birth. We spiritually participate with Jesus in His death, burial, resurrection, and victory over sin and death when we are born again of the water and the Spirit, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we do this, our old self dies and our new self is now alive in Him. As we think about the concept of justification in the book of Galatians, when a person is convicted of a capital crime and executed, the law has no further claim over him or her. So it is with the one who has died with Christ, who paid the penalty for sin in full and rises to walk in new life in Him. Justice is satisfied, and I am free in Jesus. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Him, Romans 8, verse 1. No condemnation, Romans 8, 1. No separation, Romans 8, 37 through 39. This is what salvation by grace through faith looks like. And so now, how shall we live? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. I am united with Him. I am one with Him. And yes, I am still in the flesh, but the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living it by faith. I am living it by conviction in Him. I am living it by trust in Him. I am living it by surrendering my will to His. And as a result of my personal walk in Him and with Him and through Him, my conscience is clean. And it's not because of anything that I've done. It's because of what He has done in me. And so as I consider the second coming of Jesus Christ, I don't consider it in fear. I don't have the same reaction that Adam and Eve had of God walking in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden, and they went and hid in the bushes because they knew that they had sinned. I'm living my life in full assurance of faith that my sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And so, present tense, I live by faith in Him. And I live by faith in Him because He loved me. His motive for dying for my sins was love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loved me so much, He died for my sins. The Holy Spirit reveals all this to me, and after I am born again of the water and the Spirit, and the blood of Jesus cleanses my conscience, I'm now a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit who now indwells me. And He's working in my life from the inside out, and He is producing the fruit of love. And so Jesus loved me, and because He first loved me, it compels me to love Him back. My motive for living this way is to be love for Him. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12, verse 30. Jesus gave Himself for me. He surrendered himself. He yielded himself. He gave himself over to the wrath of God because of me and for me. And so how shall we live? Define your life in 50 words or less. I don't believe that Galatians 2:20 is only to be true of Saul of Tarsus. I believe it is to be true of every disciple of Jesus Christ. And so if this is not true of you, if it's not true of me, then by God's grace, let's make it so. Whatever we need to repent of in order for this to be true in our life, let's get on with it. He's worthy. He is worthy of your conviction. He is worthy of your trust. He is worthy of you surrendering everything to Him. Our brother Nick Cooper has selected number 487 as the song that we're going to sing now. It's called A New Creature. And underneath the heading of the song, you'll notice Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. As we sing this song together this morning, if you have not been crucified with Christ and you would like to be this morning, we can do it right now. We have a baptistry full of warm water behind me. We have changes of clothes. We have towels. You can be crucified with Christ right now. Maybe you have been crucified with Christ in the past, but the abiding effect of all of that is not what it was in your heart. Let today be the day. Let today be the acceptable time in your life. Let today be the day in which you determine that you have left your first love. And that the reason that you are not on fire for Jesus is because you're not thinking about who He is. And you're not thinking about what He did. And you're not thinking about why He did it. And so instead of denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Him daily, which is His will for you, it's you who's in you. And I want to tell you what all of us know about you in you. What we all know about me in me. Me and me don't work. Christ in me is what works. Being full of the Spirit is what works to the glory of our God and Father. And so this morning, get out of your own way and let God work in your life and let Jesus back in. Let Him be the King of Kings in your life and the Lord of Lords of your heart. And you live your life in the flesh from this day forward by faith in Him who loves you and demonstrated that love for you by giving Himself for you on the cross. If we can help you to respond in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing number 487.